Hello once again, friends, and welcome in to that SEC podcast. This is episode number 18. So we've already knocked out 17 of these things, and we're getting ready to knock out number 18. It's a first of the week episode, so as you guys know, as usual, we will be looking over this week's spreads and trying to take a look at what is most intriguing there from the new Vegas lines. Before we do that, as always, we'll kind of recap the weekend. So I'm Cody McClure, joined as always by Michael Bratton, SEC Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Cody. I'm just trying to figure out, who had the worst weekend. Do you think Brett Bielema or Jim McElwain?
I think I'd have to go with Brett Bielema if I just had to pick one. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of, I really think Brett Bielema is a good coach. You know, maybe he's not as good of a coach as I thought he was. You know, it seems like annually Arkansas is able to pull out a game or two. They shouldn't win based on talent or where the game is played. But, you know, this season it just keeps, trending the wrong way. And it just, these toss-up games, they're not even showing up in some of them. So, it just keeps looking bleaker and bleaker for that guy.
Yeah, McElwain, at least his team, they didn't look good by any means, but at least his team was in the game. We knew it was going to be a tough game, hard fought. I think we said something like 17-16. That just seemed like a number that was floating around, and turns out that's what it was. But that LSU-Florida game, I don't think anyone was really surprised to see Florida lose that game. At least I know you and I weren't. But Arkansas, on the other hand, that shocked me a lot more, and so I feel like that hurt Bielema more, the way that they lost that game to a South Carolina team that honestly hasn't looked that great this season since the first couple weeks. So, I would definitely say Bielema there probably had the worst weekend.
Yeah, and they just seem to be giving away these games. They allowed three defensive touchdowns. I mean, they ended up getting blown out 48-22. And they turn around and they got Alabama and Auburn in consecutive weeks, so it's not going to get any better unless they pull a miraculous upset.
Now, Arkansas is in big, big trouble. I'm not sure that they will win an SEC game until maybe the Missouri game last week of the season. South Carolina hadn't scored a defensive touchdown since, 2014, 2015? I can't remember. Exactly.
I think 2014 is what I heard.
Yeah, 2014, and it's crazy because they were the longest streak of that nature in the SEC of all the SEC teams, and they finally in one game, then they get three defensive touchdowns. So to me, that is just nuts.
And I don't know if you saw these comments from Paul Feinbaum on Jim McElwain, but he said in the wake of this 17-16 loss to LSU. He said it felt like a signature loss, and I've never, of course, I've heard signature win. We hear that term thrown quite a bit, but I never heard of a signature loss really until today. And I don't think it's McElwain needs to be too concerned. We'll see how they play next week against Texas A&M, but Feinbaum might be onto something. This is year three. They just have no offense, no development at quarterback. They're down a couple receivers, and this was a receiving unit that coming into the year looked really, really talented, a lot of depth there. They lose one or two guys, they got nothing on the outside. This Florida team, much like Arkansas, it seems like they have no identity at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Florida is not a very good football team. I mean, you look at what they've done this season, and yeah, they found ways to win against Kentucky and Tennessee, and comfy win over Vanderbilt. But other than that, I mean, the LSU game, the Michigan game, they just have not looked like a good football team. They don't look like a Florida football team. And I think when you have the resources that Florida has, that's a top five job in America. Some would tell you it's maybe a top three, maybe the best job you could have in America with the resources there. And I just, for them to look the way that they do, I can understand the heat on McElwain, because the thing people keep going back to is, back-to-back SEC East champions. But if we're being honest, have we ever seen two worse SEC East champions than those last two Florida teams?
I don't think so. I mean, those teams were basically non-competitive in the title game, had very few wins outside the division. You know, it got blown out by Florida State at the end of each year. You know, I don't think that anyone is under an illusion, even the most diehard Florida fans, that those teams were any contender for national titles, which is the expectations of Florida.
And I guess it would be nice to be the biggest winner in a big group of losers. But, I mean, I guess that's one way you can put it. But I think now we're starting to see with, especially the way that Georgia's playing right now, we're starting to see now what a real legitimate kind of East champion is going to look like. And I think there's a little more dignity in that. You know, there's a little more pride in that to say, I mean, because the SEC East that Georgia's about to win, it's garbage too. But at least Georgia looks like a real contender and a really good football team, whereas the Florida teams that won the East the last 2 years were, I think, the way I would put it, like I said, just the best team in a big group of losers.
Yeah, and Florida next week, they welcome Texas A&M to the Swamp. You know, that's a team that keeps improving week after week. You know, they lost to Alabama by 8 points, 27-19 was the final score there, but you know, coming off that, you know, Kevin Sumlin said he didn't believe in moral victories, but, you know, it almost felt like a win for Texas A&M there. They were, I think, a 26-point underdog, something like that, when the line came out. You know, that was my lock. I said to go with Texas A&M. I was right there. You know, and I think that was a game that Alabama was you know, could fall into a trap of somewhat overlooking Texas A&M after consecutive huge dominant SEC wins. That's a tough place to play in College Station. But, you know, I think the plan, even though Alabama got up pretty big in that game, I want to say it was 24-3 at one point. Mm-hmm. You know, the game plan, it seemed like, from Texas A&M was to make Jalen Hurts beat them. And, you know, outside of Damian Harris had a couple big runs. Outside of those plays, I mean, they really controlled Alabama's offense in my mind. And Jalen Hurts, I don't know, I just still not seeing it from him. He was 13 of 22 passing, 5.6 yards was his average for 123 yards. He's just, I don't think he's there yet. I don't think they can beat an outstanding defense that forces him to beat them. And, you know, I took a lot of heat for this, but I said I would put Alabama third in the SEC right now in terms of power rankings behind Georgia and Auburn.
Yeah, I saw that you said that, and I kind of thought you probably would take some heat on that one. I mean, I'm not going to argue it with you like at this point, I think, because those three teams, I think that they do look very good. Georgia with a nice blowout win over Vanderbilt. Auburn with a nice win over Ole Miss, even though I got to tell you, I was severely upset with Auburn all weekend. And I'm still kind of pissed because Auburn blew open a 35-point lead in that game. And then the defense just laid down. And one of my locks of the week was Auburn covering 22.5. And they should have. Like, it was so easy. It was done. And they just laid down and let Shea Patterson rack up a couple of garbage touchdowns. And I just, oh, man, they won by 21. I was sick all weekend over that. But so.
Well, they got a tough game at LSU. So they had to rest up for that game.
Yeah, I guess. the one thing I'll tell you, though, that I think I learned there, it wasn't not to gamble, certainly. The one thing I learned was that I think Auburn's defense has some holes in it. I don't know that Auburn's defense is on that same elite level as Georgia's and Alabama's. Now, they've played well up to this point, don't get me wrong. But if you look in terms of the scoring defense, the total defense, those yardage numbers, all that stuff, Auburn was third all along behind Bama and Georgia in those categories. And I don't know that they're far off. I think Auburn has a pretty legitimate, pretty good defense, but the way that they kind of got shredded in that game by Ole Miss, Shea Patterson throwing for 346 on them, I don't know that Alabama's defense Well, Alabama's they already played them. They certainly didn't allow that to happen. So, out of those three teams, I do really like Auburn, and I am buying them, but I think Auburn would be a solid three for me in those top three. And then I don't think, to me personally, like I don't have anything against Georgia, but at this point, I don't think I can be sold on what Georgia's done versus what Alabama's done. I think Texas A&M is a formidable test. And I think that they were tested by a pretty good football team on the road, and Georgia hasn't really had to go through that yet. So, I'd still have Bama one, but I think Auburn's a clear three. Just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I personally have essentially all the defenses very close. I like Georgia's right now. I just think they're playing the best football right now of those three units. Auburn, you made some good points there, but I also think Auburn's defense is hurt a little bit by the offense. The offense is playing so well, but they don't sustain long drives. What Auburn's been doing that's so effective is they've been gashing teams with these explosive plays. And typically, you would think that in an Auburn offense, that'd be long runs, which was kind of what happened against Ole Miss. But Jarrett Stidham has given them that capability of the big pass as well. So they're just not sustaining a ton of long, time-consuming drives. They're scoring quickly. I think that leaves their defense out to dry a little bit. I think that's a little bit of what we saw. I mean, they held Ole Miss to 3 points at halftime, so they gave up 13 in the fourth quarter. So,
Right.
they're still a very, very good unit in my mind. It'll be really interesting to see what they do against LSU going in there. They haven't won in Baton Rouge since 1999, I believe. So, and that's always a tough game. So, I think this will be a far more legitimate marker of how they play against LSU.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point there, and I wouldn't expect them to give up many yards or points to that LSU team, honestly. But I think you make a good point with what you say with the explosive plays. Because another thing I noticed on Saturday when I was looking around a bit on Auburn is, Auburn really, I don't know that there's a more balanced offense in the SEC. So I really love Auburn from an offensive standpoint right now with what Stidham is doing. And Kerryon Johnson, man, he is just. He's toting the rock, 11 touchdowns in what, three weeks of game action. So I really do like Auburn's offense.
Yeah, and I heard Kerryon Johnson make an interesting comment leading up to this game. He said for the first time in his career, and I believe he's a redshirt junior. I could be wrong, but he said for the first time in his career, he's seen a five-man box at Auburn. He's never seen that, and that's because defenses have to respect Jarrett Stidham stretching the field. So, this is something that Auburn opponents haven't seen. And like I was talking about Jalen Hurts, I'm not really sold on him at this point. I mean, he may be their most elite running back, essentially, with a little bit of a throwing. I don't see it from Jalen Hurts at this point, from what Jarrett Stidham can give Auburn. I think the most heartbreaking loss, of course, was Missouri. I mean, it doesn't get much more pathetic than that. I mean, you're going driving down for the length of the field. It looked like they had a lot of momentum. They were moving the ball. They score a touchdown. They could have won the game. And what happens? A little slapping of the ball away from a heads-up play by a Kentucky defender, but he should have been flagged on that play. And the refs don't spot the ball. That just killed that final drive for Missouri. They end up losing 40-34 in Kentucky.
Yeah, we talked about that one a little bit earlier this afternoon. That play where Jamon Moore basically said, he responded to Jordan Rogers, who said he should have just handed the ball to the official, and it actually got knocked out of there. But yeah, the way those events shook out, not good. I mean, not a good way to finish the game for Missouri. You should have had a lot more time, couple more plays there. But that's what bad teams do, right? I mean, it's just you don't see Nick Saban's team do that. You don't see Kirby Smart, his Georgia team doing that. I mean, it's just, I think in a lot of ways Missouri's 1-4 for a reason. So, but you do hate it for them because they did have a chance there and they played well for the most part of that game.
Yeah, and it's somewhat coach speak, but you hear it from a lot of these coaches, particularly in the SEC, because it's so tough. But, you know, the team has to learn how to win. And Missouri, you know, with a young coaching staff, a lot of young players on that team, you know, this is just another lesson for them. They just haven't been shown the capability to do that. And, you know, you hope for their sake, you know, a game, tough loss like this, they learn something from it. But, man, it just that was a tough way to lose that game.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of truth to that, learning how to win. You know, another thing I heard talking about coach speak one time is a coach said, first you lose big, then you lose close, and then you win close, and then you win big. It's like mm-hmm. when you're building a program, if you're building it right, that's kind of the way it ends up happening. So, you know, right now they are losing big. I think they're on the fringe there of losing big, losing close. And hopefully they're getting better with that. So, anything else from week six that stands out for you?
No, not really. Just ready to get to these opening lines.
All right, let's do it. My favorite time of the week, I think. I don't know. I enjoy the predictions and all that too. But I really do love doing this. So, go ahead and hit it, my friend.
Let's start with the noon kick on SEC Network. BYU is traveling to Mississippi State. These teams played last year in BYU, and I believe it went to double overtime. BYU won that game. I guess that Mississippi State would be a 13-point favorite. You guessed Mississippi State 18-point favorite, and it actually opened up at Mississippi State minus 20.5, so you got that one right.
Okay, so I was a little closer there. Well, that's good, I guess. Yeah, I don't know much about that BYU team. I looked into them. I remember they got shut out by LSU. I just kind of looked at their scores from the last few weeks and noticed they haven't been all that competitive. They just lost to Utah State by 16. They lost to Boise State just a couple days ago. So it kind of got handled in that game. I mean, this doesn't seem like a BYU team that we're used to seeing.
No, and it's interesting because I remember one of our first podcasts, you were talking about, you know, this BYU team. I think the previous season they had not lost a game by more than 8 points.
Yeah.
And this year they're just completely non-competitive. They nearly lost to Portland State to open the year.
Yeah. I don't know if they've lost one by fewer than 8 points now.
I was just thinking that two touchdowns, you know, against a Power 5 team, that seemed like quite a bit. But, you know, understandable, almost a 3-touchdown spread at this point. It wouldn't surprise me the way that BYU's been playing. Mississippi State covers this game. You know, the Bulldogs have been exposed, you know, a little bit the last couple of weeks. They were on a bye this week. But, you know, this could be a really good get-right game before the Bulldogs jump back into SEC play.
Yeah, I agree. Mississippi State needs to get back on track after getting blown out by Georgia and Auburn, and I do expect them to do that this week against BYU.
All right, let's see. The next noon kickoff, this is on ESPN, South Carolina at Tennessee. I thought Tennessee would be a 4-point favorite. You said Tennessee minus 1.5, and you're almost on the money. It's Tennessee minus 2.
Minus 2, okay. Yeah, I didn't know really to think whether it would be. I thought the 4 that you sent me was a little high. I thought maybe it would have been closer to a field goal. But then I just thought about how bad Tennessee's looked against Georgia, UMass. I mean, who out there has confidence in Tennessee right now? I don't think Vegas really does. I mean, if this game were in Columbia, I think South Carolina would be a significant favorite, at least by a field goal or 4 points if it were in Columbia. So, I don't know. You expect it to be close, but at the same time, I just personally, not a lot of faith in Tennessee from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, South Carolina's been a tough team to gauge for me this year. You know, the NC State game, I didn't think they would be even competitive. They won that game. Kentucky, I thought they'd blow out Kentucky. They lost that one. Last week, I thought they would get blown out by Arkansas. They blew out Arkansas. So,
real head scratcher.
This has been a very tough team for me to get a grasp on. Tennessee, you know, it's interesting. In my opinion, they have far more talent overall than South Carolina.
Oh yeah.
But they're not playing like it, and you know, the coaching. The coaching is essentially a wash in this game, in my mind. I really like Jake Bentley. I still think he may be the SEC's best quarterback now at this point. I don't think he's getting a ton of help. This is going to be a competitive game that the last few have come down to the wire. And if Tennessee doesn't get blown out, which could happen, this game will probably come down to the wire as well.
Butch Jones winless against Will Muschamp. I don't know if that really matters going into this particular game, but boy, does Tennessee need a win. I mean, Tennessee, the heat in Knoxville right now is just, it's scorching. So Tennessee needs this one really bad. I don't know. No need to give a prediction yet, you know, of course, because we'll do the podcast later in the week, but not really surprised to see the line where it's at, because I do expect a very close game.
Okay, the 3:30 kick on SEC Network, Vanderbilt at Ole Miss. I thought Vanderbilt would be the favorite. I said Vanderbilt -4. You said Ole Miss would be favored. Ole Miss by 3 is what you thought. And it actually opened up Ole Miss -4.5. So right now you're 3-0 on these picks.
Yeah, I'm nailing them so far. I feel like you're going to do like you did last week, though, and you're going to save all the ones you got for the end. So just leave me disappointed. But yeah, you know, I'm not too surprised to hear that. I think just in general, the SEC West has a better perception, I guess you could say, than the SEC East. And I don't know how that really factors in with Vegas spreads, but you give me a bad team in the East and a bad team in the West, basically what they've done this season is about identical. They've both been blown out by Alabama. I mean, who really looked better in the blowout? I don't know. I think Ole Miss showed me a little more the way that they did finish out that game against Auburn. You know, they played four quarters. Shea Patterson put up some yards. And Vanderbilt really just looks like a dumpster fire to me, the way that they lost to Georgia. So I would give Ole Miss a bit of an edge here, and I guess it looks like Vegas agrees.
You know, one thing we forgot to mention, I meant to open with this. Ole Miss has put its coaching job up online. You can go online and apply for the job. So
nice. I'm getting my resume ready right now.
So that tells me what they think of Matt Luke. That went live immediately after the blowout there at Auburn. So
interesting timing. Yeah. Funny how that worked out.
I mean, obviously Vanderbilt's not been impressive here lately, but. You know, they haven't given up in my mind. They were just out talented by a very hot Georgia team. Whereas on Ole Miss, I don't know. They just seem very lackluster. I heard a lot of talk leading up to the year that, you know, they were going to go for it a lot more on fourth down. They didn't have a bowl to lose. I just haven't seen. I haven't seen that fire. I haven't seen that passion. You know, they missed a field goal, I believe, to open the Auburn game, and after that, they just kind of crumbled. This is a bad team that, in my mind, is, you know, on the brink of just completely collapsing. So, I'm very surprised that Ole Miss would be a favorite here. But, you know, I what you said makes some sense too. But, I'm not getting that one. I think Vanderbilt, I would favor to win outright here at this point.
And they could very well do it. Two very bad teams. A game is in Oxford, right? So that's got to weigh in a little bit there with Vegas, I would assume.
All right, the CBS SEC game. This should be a good one. This is one of my favorite games every year. Auburn travels to LSU, and I thought Auburn would be a 9-point favorite. You said Auburn 6.5, and it opened at Auburn 6. So you get that, but I've heard, I think it's up to 8.5 or 9, so.
Oh, so it's moving up, okay.
Yeah, so that moved pretty quick, but why did you think it would be less than a touchdown to start with?
Well, you know, on paper, you wouldn't think it should be, but LSU coming off of a win at Florida, I feel like they really got some things together. Matt Canada's offense looked a little better with the jet sweeps and all that stuff. You didn't have Orgeron, you know, reaching in there. I felt like that was a really good program win to go on the road. I know Florida's not very good. Auburn's way better than Florida. But I feel like the crowd's going to be in this one now. LSU got a little oomph in their step now. And so Auburn coming to town, Death Valley, LSU playing all right right now. They're kind of starting to maybe forget about Troy a little bit. I just think the crowd will be in it, and I think that LSU defensively, if they can hold their own, which it's going to be tough against Auburn, honestly. I don't know that they'll be able to do it, but I could see this being a close game.
And I think, you know, a lot of hype around the CBS games. I think most colleges, you know, would favor that time slot. But I think the one school that that it hurts is actually LSU, because, you know, they just live off those Death Valley night games. So I think Auburn caught a bit of a break in this one. I think LSU is very inexperienced this year. They're lacking depth, especially on offensive line. I don't know if you saw this, but at one point they had four freshman offensive linemen against Florida,
and yeah.
that was kind of the middle of the game there when their offense was stalling, and it was pretty clear that you know, some of those guys, you know, they look very talented, but I don't think they're ready to get out there. And you know, I don't know how much you read into stuff like this, but I heard the early forecast is around 90 degrees that day. So, you know, you talk about the younger team, the thinner team in the hot weather. You know, I really like Auburn in this one.
Yeah, I think I do too. I'm trying to figure out why Vegas would have it open so low, and honestly, I don't really know why I thought it would either. I guess I just with the crowd being a factor and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, LSU with a little bit of momentum. But I mean, honestly, Auburn is a much better football team, like I said, on paper. So I'm not surprised to see the line move up closer to where you had it.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, coming off a nationally televised game, LSU won in surprising fashion, that's going to sway the public a little bit towards LSU too, in my mind.
I guess if anything, it seems to me like maybe there could be a little bit of that LSU magic in a game like this. But you're right. You know, if it were at night, it might feel a little bit more like that. It will end under the lights, but I don't know. Could be a little magic, but Auburn is much better on paper. I'll have to think about it more this week before we give predictions.
All right, the SEC night game, Missouri at Georgia. Missouri gave it all they had against Kentucky there and still came up short, so this could get ugly. I predicted Georgia minus 22. You said Georgia minus 28, and it looks like you got that dead on. I got it. The opening is Georgia minus 28.
So it opened at 28.
Yeah, so you were perfect on that one.
And I'm nailing them this week. Sometimes you get lucky.
Yeah, you're kicking my ass.
Well, yeah, pretty much. I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to put it that way. I didn't want to put it that way, Mike. But yeah, it's kind of a bloodbath. No, I guess you get lucky sometimes, you know. That's pretty much, I'm pretty much just getting lucky, I think. I mean, either way, like, I think
so. Why do you so confident that Georgia is four touchdowns better than Missouri at this point?
Well, I just look at the results from Georgia. So starting with Mississippi State, they won that game by 28 points. They beat Tennessee mm-hmm. by 41 after I really wasn't sure if they could follow up the Mississippi State performance. And then I was like, okay, I'm riding with Georgia. And so this past week, I made that one of my other betting guarantees. I said Georgia will cover easily against Vanderbilt, 17 points. And they did. And you look at the score there, 45-14, they won by 31. So they've won by 28, 41, 31. And I think they're about to play the worst team out of those other three that I just mentioned. So there's no doubt in my mind that Georgia can cover 28 points against Mizzou.
Yeah. Well, last year, you know, these teams played a really tight game. Jacob Eason threw the game-winning touchdown there in the closing moments of the game. It was a 28-27 game. So, you know, that might give Missouri some hope, but then, you know, you could clearly just turn around and say Georgia lost to Vanderbilt and Tennessee last year, too, and they just destroyed both those teams. So,
yeah, right.
Take that for what it's worth. I guess I just went a little low on this game. Missouri's got a little momentum going, but they're clearly going to be outmatched in this one, and it may take a minor miracle for them to cover in this game.
Yeah, and I think Vegas is starting to figure out Georgia. You know, you can see these spreads kind of getting bigger and bigger every week. So they've sort of got that Alabama effect going now with Georgia.
Okay, speaking of another ass whipping that's probably going to be coming here, Arkansas at Alabama. That's going to be a 7:15 kickoff. I thought the line would open a. I said Alabama minus 38. You said Alabama minus 31. And it actually opened at Alabama minus 29.5. So you get that one as well.
Oh, my God. This is just, man, what a week. I'm, I don't know what to say. Yeah, Alabama, you know, I mean, so 29.5, 31. I mean, pretty close there, I guess. 38. To be honest with you, what you said I think is more accurate. I just didn't think that they would go that high, but I think you're probably much closer to what it will really be.
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas's main issues at this point are running the ball and stopping the run, and what does Alabama do so well? I mean, essentially both those things. So, I mean, this is a nightmare matchup for Arkansas. To top it off, they can't protect Austin Allen. They're essentially having to bring in a 6'7" backup quarterback to convert short yardage situations, you know, because he can fall forward and he's a couple yards tall. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this is going to get ugly before it gets better here for Arkansas, in my opinion.
And maybe the worst thing is Alabama is coming off of a performance where we talked about it earlier. They were up 24-3. All you got to do is listen to Nick Saban's interview after the game, and he was very disappointed that his team didn't finish. The reporter, I can't remember who it was that was covering that, but she asked him, like, "Hey, what, you know, tough environment you just played in? What can you say about your team, whatever?" And he said, "We were up 24-3." Like, we didn't finish, you know. So I think you're going to get a rejuvenated Bama team. They're going to be fired up in Tuscaloosa. I'm going to be honest with you. If this stays around 31, I already know this will be one of my Friday guarantees. Arkansas, I don't think has a prayer. I mean, I could see this being another one of those 59-0 kind of games.
Yeah, that's kind of remarkable. You know, I'm just thinking about it while you were talking, but you know, it wasn't that long ago. It was just a couple of years ago. These two played to, what was it, like a 1 or 2 point game, and
mm-hmm. Yeah, Arkansas missed an extra point in that game. It was 14-13 in Fayetteville.
It's remarkable. I mean, obviously we know how good Alabama is, but it's remarkable how far Arkansas has fallen since that point. With you know, they haven't really lost that much. They lost an offensive line coach. That was essentially their biggest loss, in my opinion. And you know, they lose coordinators, they gain coordinators. Bielema seems to make terrific hires at coordinators. So you know, it just they have a lack of identity as well. You know, we were talking about that with Florida. It's just not going well for him. And I think, much like Butch Jones, even if the ship gets righted, which it doesn't look like either one is going to at this point, at least for this season, I could see Bielema getting out of town, and if another job comes open, much like a Kansas State or something.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it seems like the writing is kind of on the wall for both of those. With both of those jobs, you look back to those 2013 hires, and Gus Malzahn, of course, has his team playing well, but I don't know if you would have found many people who would have said that Mark Stoops would be the second best coach out of those. You know, I mean, Bielema had his three straight Rose Bowls, and Butch had his three conference titles or whatever. I mean, turns out I think a lot of that was just kind of not really as legitimate as we thought it was going to be. And yeah, you talk about the way those Arkansas teams have fallen. I mean, I think back to that year. I don't know if it was the same year they played Alabama so close, but the run that they went on late in the season, they shut out LSU and Ole Miss in back-to-back weeks, a combined 47-0, and those teams were pretty good. They beat LSU 2 years in a row, and mm-hmm. Now it's just – it is a – My, how the pigs have fallen.
Yeah, and, you know, I just remembered something that happened this morning, and you'd be a great person to ask about it. I don't know if you saw this tweet from Dan Walken, but he kind of caught some heat for it. He was essentially ranking, the jobs, SEC jobs, in terms of the best and the worst, essentially. And he had Tennessee and Arkansas basically on the same plane, and he tweeted out the Tennessee job is slightly better than Arkansas, is how he put it. And I mean, he just kind of got torn for that comment, but those programs, both of them, pretty well. What do you make of that comment?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's pretty far off on that. Arkansas is not, in my opinion, it's not anywhere close to what the Tennessee job would be. One of the big knocks on Arkansas is where it is. Fayetteville, Arkansas, as far as recruiting goes, they have always had trouble getting good quality players in there to play because they've recruited Texas fairly well. That's what they try to do. But by the time they get in there, they're getting 3 stars out of Texas. They don't have much success in Louisiana because LSU owns the state. And you look around where else they're at. I mean, Oklahoma, Missouri. I mean, they're not getting any good players. They're kind of locked up there in the hills in Fayetteville. And that's always been, it's always been a geographic challenge there. But the way that Arkansas is, they're never going to build into, they don't have the potential that Tennessee does. You know what I mean? They're one of those schools that you need to get a guy in with a system, a guy who can recruit guys to fit his system and who can run it well. And you see kind of those middle tier programs that have been able to do that don't have fertile recruiting grounds. I think of I think Gary Pinkel at Missouri might be a good example. A Kirk Ferentz at Iowa.
Or perhaps maybe like a Chris Peterson when he was at Boise, that type of guy.
And so Arkansas fans, I think for the most part, they're fairly reasonable. They know that they're not going to get a big name. But they want somebody to come in there and have them a consistently decent program. And I don't think that's all that too much to expect. But it's not even close. Just my opinion. It's not even close to the Tennessee job in terms of recruiting, resources, program, history, tradition. I mean, pretty much every category you can check off for Tennessee.
And they're on the easier side of the division, so
Yeah, exactly. Still got to play Alabama every year, but at least you don't have to play Auburn and LSU too when LSU's typically good, you know.
all right, I just wanted to make sure you were on the right side of that argument.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, the final game of the weekend. This is actually the game I'm most excited about. I think this could be the best game of the day in the SEC. Texas A&M travels to Florida, and that's a 7 o'clock kickoff on ESPN2. I thought Florida would be a 2.5 point favorite. You said Texas A&M a 3 point favorite, and actually Florida opened as a 5 point favorite.
Really? Wow. I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to save that one for last. Florida
Well,
opened as a favorite, huh?
yeah, I mean, this Texas A&M, obviously they played, you can argue they played their best game of the season. They still lost last week, but it as a, I've mentioned several times, I've kind of been won over by this team. They keep playing better and better. They obviously play really well at home. This is going to be a totally different environment going into the night, going into the swamp. This Florida team is essentially their season's on the line here. I just think everything's pushing towards Florida in this game, and as well as Texas A&M's been playing, I don't think there's much of a chance they get out of this one with a win, in my opinion.
See, I'm looking at it totally opposite. Like, I understand that Florida is at home, and so that's probably a good reason for, I can see the Gators being favored there, I guess. But I don't know. I feel a lot better about Texas A&M. I think Texas A&M has a pretty quality football team because their only loss, here's the way I'm looking at this. I know they didn't finish off that game against UCLA. But I look at the fact that they were up 44 to 10. And to get to that point, you got to be playing pretty good. I think I said the same thing already last week on the podcast. So I get that they lost that. But then you look at what they've done since then. They beat Arkansas. They handled South Carolina. They haven't looked good against, the inferiors, Nicholls State. I know you had that game, but I feel like Texas A&M, Kevin Sumlin said it himself, they've gotten better every single week. I feel like that's a program with a little bit more stability right now. I think that the fans who want him out so bad have quieted down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's feeling a little bit better. I think that team's feeling good. I mean, they played really well against Alabama. So I really expect Texas A&M to go into Florida and get a win.
Yeah, and Kellen Mond, you know, he continues to improve. You know, you keep going back to that UCLA game. You know, had he not been forced into duty and Nick Starkel finished that game, I think Texas A&M would have won it easily. But, you know, Kellen Mond had to play. He was basically terrible in that UCLA game, but, you know, he was not expected to go in there and play crucial moments, I don't think. And, you know, against Alabama, it's just completely different. He showed no fear. He made big play after big play. He really reminds me of Josh Dobbs, really. I think that's the caliber of the player he is. And much like Josh Dobbs, he threw a critical interception in the red zone, which, you know, that really halted Texas A&M's momentum. But give him credit, he just bounced right back, led another touchdown drive or two after that. So, you know, he's just a big play waiting to happen. And he can, his arm is pretty good. It's, you know, it's not great at this point accuracy-wise, but his legs are lethal. This is going to be a true test for him. I haven't really seen him do it on the road. This is going to be a tough, tough game.
He totally does remind me of Josh Dobbs. It's funny you say that. I mean, because that's the comparison that I was thinking Saturday night watching him play. He looks kind of like Josh Dobbs, the way that you would imagine Josh Dobbs would have looked early in his career had he had a quarterback coach. And Kellen Mond, I mean, they even kind of look alike. They're in the face, they kind of look similar. Both mm-hmm. wear number 11, so they run similar. You know, so I think it's a great comparison. But yeah, you know, it will be tough for him in the swamp. I would agree with that.
And they, you know, you got to give credit to the A&M defense as well. We touched on that a little bit earlier. You know, they played Alabama really well. They got gashed for a couple huge runs by Damian Harris. Bo Scarborough, you know, he hit him a couple times as well. But, you know, it's easy to say take those plays out. But really, if you would have, they would have severely limited Alabama. They would have won the game, really, if not for a couple of those big runs. But, you know, I think if they can do the same things against Florida, that's what Florida's going to do. They're going to tag them on the ground. The availability of receiver Tyree Cleveland, that's going to be huge. You could tell they have no deep threat when he's not in the game. Obviously, Callaway, he's not coming back. He looks like his career's done at Florida. I think this is going to be a tight game. Like I mentioned, I think this is going to be the best game in the SEC this weekend.
I think it will be a good football game to watch. And another area where I might give Texas A&M an advantage is in their pass rush. I don't know if Florida's offensive line can keep Texas A&M from getting to the quarterback because, I mean, they had three sacks against Bama, which is not a crazy number, but you look at the weeks before that, they had seven against mm-hmm. South Carolina and six against Arkansas. So Texas A&M, that pass rush playing D-line, playing really well, and they're getting pressure off the edges. So I expect Florida to have some trouble with that.
And they're going up against a young quarterback in Felipe Franks who, you know, he still doesn't look quite that comfortable in the offense. He doesn't go through his progressions as well as Luke Del Rio did before him. And I don't know if you saw this, but we've seen some reaction from Malik Zaire. He's kind of questioning why he's not getting in the game, but you know, he must. I've never seen anything to suggest that he's the answer. So, you know, if the quarterbacks are constantly under pressure from A&M, this could be a really low scoring game.
Yeah, should be interesting to see how it shakes out. Anything else on the week seven lines? Can't believe we're already at week seven.
No, I'm just hope that all the coaches are in place by the midweek. Otherwise, this podcast will get dated pretty quick.
Yeah, that's for sure. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then? That's just that is life in the SEC, I suppose. But anyway, it's enjoyed this podcast. Enjoy doing all of them. And once again, as always, thank you to everybody who listened here on episode number 18. For Michael Bratton, I am Cody McClure. Later in the week, be sure to check out our predictions on the next podcast. Hopefully we'll get one up between now and then as well on the midweek. Like we were just saying, who knows what's going to happen with these coaches. A lot of coaches in the SEC feeling some pressure. So we'll see between now and then. Until then, have a great week, and we'll see you next time.